Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Sound Health Option Show with Richard Talk to Me Guy and Sherry Edwards. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Richard, and good morning to our listeners. Thank you for being here. If you are on WebEx with us, please go over to Blog Talk Radio and check in there and check the audio. We have chat. I couldn't think of that word. I need some food to improve my memory. We have chats going on at both places as we are simultaneously broadcasting from Blog Talk Radio with Richard over there in California, and I'm doing the WebEx part of this. I'm in Ohio at the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology, our sponsor, and our sponsor today is one of our softwares, Nutrition Consultant. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. Our very, very special guest today is here for several reasons. Some of them you, our audience, requested. But there's a lot of things that are bombarding my email account about what's good, what's bad, this person's bad, that person's good, eat this for your thyroid, don't eat that for your thyroid, eat this for your weight gain, oh no, don't eat potatoes, oh, don't eat tomatoes, oh, don't eat turnips. Now, we don't know who's telling us the truth. And our guest today, a very, very special guest, Dr. Ruby Latham, is going to be telling us about food. I'm going to ask her this question. Like blood types, are there food types? Are there certain kinds of food that certain people shouldn't eat? Because I know I certainly feel bad when I eat certain kinds of food. She has it all down. She's going to be with us in a few minutes. Right after some announcements from Richard.
Well, the first thing I want to add in is that for people, wherever you are, if you're on WebEx or if you're on Blog Talk Radio and you want to find out other information about the show and see the links for the show, you can go to Blog Talk Radio. I'm sorry. You can go to Sound Health Options, click on the radio tab, and then click on Blog Talk Radio. And on that page, you'll see information about the show we're doing today as well as other shows we've done. And you'll be able to see the link. If you're at Blog Talk Radio, you'll see the link on that same page either to get to Blog Talk Radio and join the chat there or dial in to Blog Talk Radio at 347-850-1407 where you can listen. And or you can also see the link to join the WebEx chat that Sherry is managing where the chat is always a party. Because everybody there is, you know, really throwing in all sorts of great additional information. So you can get to both of them there. And also at the bottom of that page is a player for the last five shows that we've done on Blog Talk Radio. So anytime you want to listen to something, or I'm certain there will be information in this show. It's interesting, actually, as I think about it, that last weekend we did a show with Andreas Wecker, who has a line of amazing oils. Low oxidation rate oils, perfectly manufactured, perfectly contained, that are nutritional oils, but also could be used in cooking. So it's perfect that we have somebody today talking with us about making great food that's wonderful for us. I think somebody's mic is open. I'm hearing myself.
It's not anybody on my side. Okay, Philip, your mic flipped on, so.
Okay, all right.
And this does that occasionally to our guests.
WebEx has its own attitude. Who knows? And do you want me to go ahead with this announcement that I had, Sherry?
Yes, please.
Okay. There's a veteran started this. It's for people that it's like a Kickstarter, which is where it's a crowd-funded idea. And after the debate, I believe, I'm pretty sure this is how it came down. This is a veteran who decided to start this. It's called CrowdPack, but it's like a Kickstarter where you put up an idea and you get people to fund that idea. And so what this veteran was talking about was in response to during the debate between Clinton and Trump, where he talked about, she said something about him not exposing his tax returns, and she mentioned that based on one of his returns, I don't know the minutiae, but based on one of his returns, it looked as if he paid no federal taxes and wouldn't for years because of an amortized debt or amortized loss. And he said, and he interrupted her, you know, for one of an emptied time, saying, you know, not paying taxes makes me smart. So this veteran is saying, and jumping on the, like, so if you're not paying federal taxes, that means that you're not funding troops, you're not funding, you know, any of the things that federal tax money would go toward. And so what this young vet, who's 26, started was this crowdfunded thing saying, if Trump releases his taxes, this fund, which is now up to $6 million, and part of that is coming from Reid Hoffman, who's the co-founder of LinkedIn, is matching up to $5 million of that. This $6 million will go to veterans, directly to veterans, not through somebody else's hands, not through some, you know, mock foundation, no political anything. It's just going directly to help fund veterans in need. And so that's why this fund got started. So I'll put the links up to that. I think it's a, I'll also put up a link about more of a detailed story. But I just think it's a great, you know, I just see the snippet here that Peter Kiernan is his name, the youngest Marine ever to serve as a Raider with some acronym I don't know, deployed to Afghanistan in 2012. So it's an, you know, it's a great thing. Money is going to a, you know, a great cause. And that's my announcement.
And I'm going to forgo my announcement so I can answer your announcement.
Okay.
they released Trump's 1995 taxes in New York, I think it was New York Times, today, which is illegal. And this whole thing is about he had a loss, and that loss he amortized, and it's totally legal. But I think it's a great idea to give money to the veterans. That's one of the things that Trump's been doing all along. And I think any dirty trick that either side can pull, they will pull. And that's one of the things I was talking about sort of behind the scenes about bad information. This is one of the dirtiest campaigns on both sides that I have ever seen. And they just need to stop it. How's that?
I'm laughing because I like the theory of them stopping it, but I don't see manners, you know, coming up. You know, the idea of decorum, kind of an old word, but the idea of decorum seems to be out the window in terms of any kind of, like, mannerly attempt. So
well, I'd
I
like
look
to
forward
see...
to it being over.
Me too. 5 more weeks. I'd like to see the Hillary Foundation taxes released. Let's go for that. I'll start a give me money to give to the veterans to get her to do that.
Yeah.
Okay, so much for our arguments about politics, and I try never to talk about politics and religion, but this one is just dirty. I remember my grandma saying that this was the worst of times ever. And then I read about Socrates, worst of times ever. You know, and now we're saying it, worst of times ever. I am so happy we have a happy guest. I'm so happy that Philip suggested that we get us some happy guests, because certainly our country is being torn apart. And I think food might be something we can agree on. Would you introduce our guest, please?
I'd be happy to. I'm delighted. This is going to be a great conversation. Dr. Ruby Lathan is a certified holistic nutritionist and advocate for plant-based nutrition. Dr. Lathan inspires with a powerful story of recovering from thyroid cancer through alternative treatment focused on a whole food, plant-based diet. Dr. Lathan worked as a researcher and an award-winning engineer and now teaches others how to re-engineer their life and live health and disease-free. Dr. Lathan is a graduate of Oakwood University and the University of Alabama, where she received her PhD. She served as a nutrition policy manager at the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, where she developed and led a national grassroots campaign to advocate legislation for more healthful plant-based meal options in the national school lunch program. Dr. Lathan is the host of the Veggie Chest with Dr. Ruby, a plant-based cooking show featured on foodchannel.com, AOL, and iFood TV channels, as well as many other outlets. Good morning, Dr. Lathan.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
I have to ask, as Sherry knows, I always have like some like, well, you know, this kind of opening question. This is the first part, is for people who don't know, Dr. Lathan holds a PhD in industrial and systems engineering and a BS in computer science. So there's that, which is part of this big opening question. My big opening question is, how did you get from there to here? What was the tipping point in the process of hearing that you were given the diagnosis of thyroid cancer that made you make the choice to take your recovery into your own hands?
Well, it was a process. So first, the first part of your question, it definitely centered around being diagnosed with cancer. That made me switch careers. I was working in defense industry, and I was doing pretty well, but I can't say my soul was happy doing that kind of work. And so I was really looking kind of in the back of my mind what I could do next and how I could do something that kind of fit a little bit better with my spirit, my psyche of helping people. So I was already kind of thinking about what the next step was. And then when I got diagnosed with cancer, you know, it kind of gave me permission to stop everything, you know, what I was already looking to do. And I said, you know, first I want to focus on my health. And I decided to take a leave of absence from work, quit really, but, you know, they convinced me to take a leave of absence instead. And during that time is when I decided, you know, I wanted to do something totally different that was really going to be more helpful to people in their daily lives. But kind of part two to your question, what was the tipping point? I think when I was told the night that I got the call, because it was in the evening, from the doctor and told, you know, that I had cancer, I was totally shocked because I had totally dismissed the whole process. I thought, you know, I'm pretty healthy. We can do this biopsy, but I know it's going to come up clear. So I had completely forgotten about the biopsy a week before. So I was a little shocked when I got the call and he said that, you know, I had cancer. And I immediately asked, you know, what were the options, what were the treatment options, and he told me surgery, and I said, well, what are the natural, you know, what are the alternative options to that? And he said, there are none. And then he proceeded to tell me that we'll, you know, schedule surgery, and I was to show up here, and immediately my gut said, no, we're not doing that. I am not going to let somebody else take charge of my life. It immediately felt like I had been put into a system that was already well oiled, and I was just going to walk through the door as another cog in that wheel and be churned out. And I said, you know what, that didn't feel right from the moment he said, we're going to schedule your surgery, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, without asking me if that's what I wanted to do. And I guess I've always been a little bit of an independent spirit, a rebel spirit. I remember, you know, from 12 years old, my mom telling me something to do, and under my breath, of course, I said, you're not the boss of me, you know. So when somebody tells me what to do, I don't like it. And so I think my independent spirit said, no, we're going to find another way. And it was immediate from the moment I got the news that I was going to find a different way.
Wow. And were all of your family members and loved ones around you behind your decision? Or did they already knew who you were and are? So did they just jump on board, or did you run into resistance from your family members going, no, don't you think we ought to try this instead? Or, you know, was there concern?
There was concern, but, you know, my family, you're right. They already knew who I was. They pretty much, once my mind is made up, I was going to do what I was going to do. you know, I'd been an entrepreneur. I had, you know, left a high-paying job to do a startup, and everybody raised eyebrows at that and you know, questioned my wisdom. And so by at this point in life, they pretty much knew when I said I was going to do something, it was going to happen. And so they were just supportive, you know. You know, I didn't get any resistance from my family. They just or said, okay, whatever we can do, you know, let us know, and just, you know, prayed for me, and we're right there. So I was grateful that I didn't get that resistance. I got a lot of concern, of course, and I knew they were very concerned, but they were also believers in miracles too. So, you know.
And did you have to fight with your doctors?
Yes. Yes, I did. Now, that's where I got a lot of resistance. From doctors and associates and friends. You know, they were not on board with that at all. So, you know, because I made it so public, because when I started this journey, I really didn't know what to do. I didn't know what was going to work. I didn't even know where to start. So I started by emailing my entire email list, was probably well over 100 people, telling them I'd been diagnosed and I'm looking for information because I'm going a natural route. If you have any information, email it to me, send it to me, call me, because I am looking for a cure. And so everyone knew, so I kind of put it out there, and so I got a lot of different responses from that. Some information, but mostly concern, and then some don't do it, telling me just go have the simple surgery and call it a day before it's too late. So, yeah, it was definitely a starting point there. And so I did find I had one friend who was studying to be a naturopathic doctor at the time, and I was like her first client of this magnitude, and she's like, we're going to do this together. You know, I have advisors, and so she was really in my corner, which really helped me walk through this process, you know, from ground zero, really.
How wonderful to have an ally immediately. Go ahead, Sherry.
I just want to know what the cure was. This is a phenomenal story.
Sure. So I started, as I mentioned, so I wasn't working because I had told them I can't. I was working with the engineering firm that I'd helped build, and I said, you know, I'm taking time off from this. And so I spent every day researching what causes cancer, what cures cancer, what causes thyroid cancer, how to heal thyroid cancer. And what I started finding was this common theme of the most natural approach to healing the body was through diet, and it was through a plant-based whole foods diet. What I started seeing stories repeatedly of people healing was using a very natural diet, as close to, you know, nature as you can get your fruits and vegetables. So a lot of raw foods and eating predominantly plant-based. And so, you know, and I was pretty much open to everything. I went in with zero agenda on terms of what would work. I'm like, I'm willing to try whatever. And so when I kept seeing this theme, I was like, okay, I can do that. So I started, you know, dropping some things out of my diet. But I also found a natural treatment center in Alabama that kind of adhere to that philosophy that I was finding about, you know, just whole foods, natural foods, but also natural therapies like hydrotherapy, where you get your body temperature up very high so it activates your white blood cells to fight, and juicing and a lot of other things. So I went there about 3 weeks after I was diagnosed so I could learn about how to use food as medicine, because that, what I found, seemed to be right at the center of the answer of how to cure the body. So I went there and learned a lot, came back, changed everything, stopped, you know, using my microwave, stopped eating processed food, started eating just all natural food with very minimal ingredients in it, started eating things that boost the immune system. So it wasn't any one, like, miracle cure. It was a process of building the body up so that it would fight the cancer itself, because it does know how to do that. And then at the same time, supplementing it in a way that helps fight the cancer. So it's like give everything your body can do to boost the immune system so that it is in tip-top shape, and there are things you can do to boost that, and then there are things, specific supplements you can take that are known to help fight cancer and break it down and break down the cells' walls of cancer so that the body can get to it and take it out of your system. And so that was the overall approach, and that came in the form of superfoods, of taking multi-mega vitamins of certain nutrients, and just also a lifestyle change of low stress and living in your purpose, because a lot of times, you know, this was a very long process. I found that it wasn't just about the food and the supplements. It was about, you know, lifestyle, and are you doing in your life what you're meant to do? Are you living contrary to your spirit? Are you dealing with ongoing chronic stress? Are you tearing your body down in that way? Are you in unhappy relationships? Because a lot of times those things are very closely tied to illnesses, and we have to deal with it on all fronts. And so that tended to be the last piece that I dealt with, but that was a very significant piece as well. And that's kind of getting back to your initial question as to how I, you know, switched from engineering to doing what I do now of helping people heal. You know, I was actually helping optimize weapon system delivery to parts of weapon systems, how to get it, you know, faster, better, cheaper to Afghanistan and all over the country. And in my heart of hearts, I know that this is helping kill people more efficiently, and that is in direct opposition to who I am. I'm a person who nurtures. I don't even like to kill bugs. I'm going to let them out of the house before I stomp on it. So I was living in direct contradiction to my spirit. And so I said, you know, I need to do what I'm meant to do, what my Bible teacher when I was 15 told me I should be doing, and that was helping people. And I just kind of rejected it at the time and said, you know, I want to make money. I'm going to make money. And that was my goal. And so I was like, whatever I have to do to make a lot of money, that's what I'm going to do. And so that realization that you cannot live in contradiction to your purpose really was the turning point for me.
Well, and you really jumped on the your own bandwagon of being an advocate for your own body. That's
absolutely
really in your story. That was, as I read your materials and watched some of your videos, you really became a. That's why I was early on. I was asking about you made that choice point, because a lot of the people that are listening to the show and a lot of people that do Sherry's Sound Health Options, you know, bioacoustic work, really are wanting to take their power back and, you know, really work on their own systems. And so that's what you did. You became like an amazing self-advocate for wanting to give your body the opportunity, because our bodies are really pretty smart, I think.
Mm-hmm. They are.
And so you
they
wanted
really,
to give it
really
the opportunity.
Are.
You wanted to give it like an amazing, everything you just said was like an amazing pile of like, okay, that's not good for how my body works. Check, get rid of that. You know, I mean, it's really, that's why it's such an amazing story. As I reviewed, you know, everything, I just thought, you know, you really just made the choice. I didn't know about the, you know, weapons part, but I knew that you had been an engineer, and I thought, you know, that's quite a jump.
Mm-hmm.
But you really, you have it, you have that kind of linear, you know, if you can figure out how to build something that, I don't know, I have no engineering skills, but, you know, that you really just jumped on the, okay, I can figure this out for my body, and here's how my body works, and here's what it needs to work, and you really developed that completely into an amazing lifestyle. And so that's very exciting, and that's such a powerful thing
you.
To make that choice. That is such an underrated thing, in my opinion, of making that choice. Okay, it's my body. I'm going to do everything I can for it, and that's what you do, and now you teach others. It's amazing. All right, and I end the show. No, no.
Yeah,
and then how did you
I
get
really
into
love.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I really love doing it. I mean, it really is. I mean, that is really the first piece, because people always ask me, well, what did the doctor say? And I was like, you know, I had to not be intimidated by, you know, someone in a white coat and telling me this is what's going to happen, because it's and you basically learn to listen to your gut, because your gut, your first reaction is usually the best true reaction. And if it says, wait a minute, hold on, let me think about this, then that's what you need to do. And so I tell people that all the time, just because the doctor says it doesn't mean it's true, because he told me there was no other cure. He said he'd never seen it happen before, you know, so if I just took his word, then I'd be in a different state. And so, and I have, you know, nothing against doctors, a lot of respect, because we need doctors, especially for acute situations. But we have to realize they're human too, and they don't know everything. And we have a brain that we're supposed to use and not just hand over our health to somebody else, you know. And we often, you know, just don't know enough about our bodies. You know, we know more about our cars than our bodies. And if we understood how the body works a little bit better, and not even all the intricate details, but just the basics, we wouldn't be so willing to just follow along and take a pill and do a process that actually makes no sense when you think about it. So that's a very large part.
That's a huge mm-hmm. part of the process. I have a question from chat. Did you mm-hmm. find in your process, did you find specific foods and or nutrients that really seem to fight cancer specifically?
Yes. There were a number of things, and I went through a process of trying so many things, and then finally I narrowed it down to just a few that I thought would be, most helpful. So one was juicing. So wheatgrass was one that I did every day. And I get a lot of flack from my clients that I work with about not wanting to do something because they don't like it. I was like, look, I took wheatgrass for a year and it made me nauseous every day for 20 minutes, but I did it because I believed that it would help me heal, because wheatgrass is like taking an ounce or two of wheatgrass is the equivalent of eating about 4 to 5 pounds of vegetables at once, because it's just that potent. And I knew I needed a lot of green, and wheatgrass is a blood cleanser. It also helps break down the cell walls of cancer so that your body can attack it, because cancer tends to build its own kind of hard shell so that it can keep doing what it does, and wheatgrass helps break that down. So that was one thing. I took wheatgrass every day. And with ginger, that helps settle the stomach. But basically, that's a really good anti-inflammatory as well. So I focused on anti-inflammatory foods and foods that build the immune system. So that was one. Another one, I ate tons of garlic every day. I probably had 8 cloves of garlic a day, because garlic isn't one that helps build the immune system very much. So it's a combination of steamed and raw garlic, because really the raw is where you want it. So I got creative on how to eat raw garlic every day. And so that's how I started to come up with some different recipes. And if you notice, I use a lot of garlic and lemon in most of my recipes, because those are things we want to eat on a regular basis, because it just helps you stay well as get well. So that was one. Lots of raw leafy greens, so you get a lot of nutrients. So any type of, you know, from cabbage. Now, cabbage is a very strong cancer fighter, so juicing cabbage and eating cabbage was one to do very often. And then I took lots of different types of supplements. So there was something called IP6 that really helps enhance the cells to fight cancer, that most people who are doing, a lot of people doing natural treatment take IP6. That's one. There's black raspberry that helps. I mean, there are tons of things. I took another thing called Proalgezyme. It was algae water, and it helps the white blood cell count. And it's also an anti-inflammatory. So one of the themes of helping the body heal is to reduce inflammation in the body. So a lot of what I was eating are going to be anti-inflammatory foods. and or supplements. And so that was one as well that I took regularly. There's a lot of good healing supplements and algae in this particular algae water. So things like spirulina and chlorella are all very good in helping to fight cancer and build the immune system. So, yeah, there are lots of different things. I did, you know, part detox at the beginning where I was, you know, taking things like mushrooms, concentrated maitake mushrooms or shiitake mushrooms that really also help take toxins out of the body, you know, good for the thyroid and help with the healing process. I took baths in bentonite clay to detox from potential radiation or heavy metal. So there was a very in-depth process. And then finally, you know, near halfway through, I said, you know, you can overdo anything. And so I just narrowed it down to about six things, and, you know, including the IP6 and something called Vitalzyme, which is a systemic enzyme that also helps reduce inflammation in the body and fibrous tissue in the body that shouldn't be there, and it helps break down, again, the cell walls of viruses as well as cancer so that your body can get to it and do what it needs to do. So those are the things I took daily, as well as meditation and visualization, which was a critical piece. So this is when I coach people, I really focus in on a holistic approach. We start with food and supplements and exercise and stress reduction, and then we get to visualization, meditation, prayer, whatever works for you, because the mind is very powerful, and we underestimate how much our brain can do in the healing process.
Well, are there foods that we should just stay away from in general that would be a cancer-causing one? You're talking about cancer-curing one. What should we stay away from?
Yes, there are lots of foods, and they happen to be the ones we eat on a regular basis. So we want to stay away from foods that cause inflammation, and dairy products is a main one, and that's one that I used to eat a lot. I love cheese, you know, yogurt and all those things. Pretty much every day I probably had some type of dairy and a whey protein or something, and that's the one thing I stopped immediately. Dairy causes inflammation in the body, and that's the exact opposite of what you want. It also introduces extra hormones in the body, which we also don't want. You know, we want to keep our hormone levels in balance, and especially keeping our estrogen levels low, because excess estrogen tends to feed cancer. So you want to keep that very low. So dairy should be eliminated from everyone's diet, because it's not really a human food. It's for baby cows. And, you know, the calcium you get from dairy isn't really as digestible as you would think. You know, you get more calcium from leafy greens like kale and collards and chard and things like that. That's more available to the body than any type of calcium you're going to get from milk, which is acidic in the body. So that's one. Get rid of dairy products. You want to get rid of all processed, highly processed, like junk food. You know, foods that basically strip the fiber from their natural form, like white bread and things like that, and crackers and cookies where it says enriched wheat flour. Those type of things means that it's really been, you know, stripped and added a few of the, you know, 20 or plus nutrients back to wheat. They add maybe 5 back and call it enriched. So it's a really misnomer. So you want to stay away from highly, highly processed foods. You want to stay away from meats, especially processed meats. There have been lots of studies that show processed meat is an implication in many cancers, especially colon cancers and prostate cancers and cancers of the reproductive organs, especially probably due to the excess estrogen and things that are introduced from the hormones in meat, but also from the antibiotics and all those type of things. So highly processed sausages and, you know, salamis and cooked meats are really, cured meats are really off the list and are cancer-causing. Many studies show that. So that was definitely something I avoided as well. So, sugar is a culprit. So white processed sugar is a problem and does feed cancer also. So I, you know, stopped eating most sweets during the process. I eat sweets now, but much, much less, and I usually eat sweets in a, from natural sweeteners like dates, maybe coconut nectar, and try to stay away from white, and I definitely try to stay away from white processed sugar, which is really going to be the worst type of sugar. So you want, I get most of my sugar from fruits now. So I do like banana ice cream with bananas and other fruits, and it tastes very sweet to me because I've kind of gotten rid of the super sweet, highly processed dessert. So sugar is a culprit in making us gain weight. It also breaks down the immune system. So if you're trying to, you know, fight something off as simple as a cold, you want to avoid sugar because eating a ton of it is going to just feed the things that are making it happen and basically break down the immune system, making it weaker so that it can't fight whatever it is you're trying to fight, including cancer.
We're looking at your veggie chest. I love some of this savory egg-free quiche, cherry tomato and basil gazpacho, almond garlic pesto, and you've put the recipes right out here. These sound wonderful. I'm going to put the link into the chat for everybody. My mouth is watering.
Those are all, and I have to say they're very good. I always taste test them on my non-vegetarian vegan friends to see if they like it. I'm like, if it passes their test, then I'll publish it. So, I try to, the goal is to make healthy food taste good because I've had my share of healthy, bad-tasting food, I have to say, and I've choked it down many a day, but I also know it doesn't have to be this way. You know, we don't have to have a fight with our food to eat healthy, and that is the goal of the Veggie Chest and the show and the recipes, to show people you can eat the foods that nourish and empower your body and enjoy it at the same time. So you don't have to eat rice cakes and kale every day. You can eat a lot of other things, or you can make kale taste good, and there's a way to do that by using seasonings that actually are healthy. Lemon, garlic, and all those other things combined in the right way are excellent seasonings, but they also empower the body at the same time. There's so many seasonings like cinnamon and things like that that are just really good for the body that if we used appropriately, it would make our food taste great. And those are the recipes you're going to find on the show. They all, in my opinion, are excellent. I've got second and third opinions on that. So, and that's the goal. Healthy food can and should taste good.
Yeah, I was watching the Veggie Chest channel for a while, and I had to stop and go make something to eat. Because it was like, you made me hungry. Everything, you know.
Good.
I have some background
good.
In the food world, and so I was,
okay.
you know, watching those, and I went, oh, yeah, that'd be really good. And then I'd go, like, make a riff off of that. Like you say, you know,
mm-hmm.
you take a green, and, you know, the way you flavor it, or you pre-steam it slightly, you soften it, there's a bunch of things that you can do to not make vegetarian food be torture. You know, it doesn't have
exactly.
to, you know, everybody has this, like, bad rap about it, like, oh, it tastes like cow food, or... It can. That's right. It can.
Right.
I want to jump back for a moment. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Okay. I was just going to ask, back to the dairy and the hormones issue. When you're saying that, my question is, are you saying that about organic, grass-fed, non-hormone-treated, pasteurized, let's say, beef? And are the animals that do not get hormones in their diet that are field and pasture raised, you're saying that I'm thinking when you're talking about hormone issues and that, you're talking about standard processed meat, or do you feel that's true of all meats?
Well, with standard processed meat, you get more because they are feeding it additional hormones. However, even with the grass-fed organic meats, animals have hormones naturally occurring, and you're ingesting those hormones as well, even though you're getting, you know, a better quality meat and you're getting less, you know, a less sick animal, hopefully, it doesn't take away the naturally occurring hormones that are in every living animal. So you're still increasing your hormone load even with that. I mean, there are studies that have – there was one recently out in JAMA that was showing that the different types of meat consumption and their link to longevity, as well as plant-based, and it showed that, you know, eating certain amounts of processed, non-organic meat, standard meat that most people eat, did shorten the life the most. And then behind that was the more organic meat. So it did show there was a difference, but it still shortened life more than eating a plant-based diet.
Okay. There's more of a show on that, but I'll move along.
Yes. So it's better,
well,
you know,
I think
say
part of,
good,
think,
better, best, you know, and
yeah.
So it's definitely better.
Well, and also I would toss in, I would agree with you from the view of a phrase that I use from time to time called the precautionary principle. I think when you're working on bringing the body back to a state of homeostasis or its own balance, that you want to take all of these potential irritants away until your immune system gets strong. Like you said, you stopped taking sugar, you stopped eating sweets, and now that you're completely healthy, you have added a bit of that back in. So I would kind of hold it there that maybe while you're in a process of recovering from something, you want to give your food nothing but really great, high vitality, quality nutritives. And then later on, like a number of your recipes that I watched you cook, or you had somebody else on the show with you that did some cooking as well, that, you know, I would like those dishes, but I would add a little bit of protein. I would either add a little bit of pasture-raised something or field, you know, non-hormoned poultry or, you know, something. I get a lot of local food, so I know the farmers, I meet the farmers, I know what they're doing, and we talk about that. So I would add a handful of that because that's my lean, but I wouldn't do it, but I wouldn't necessarily do it if my system was in a state of stress. So
right.
I think I think everything you're, you know, I like everything you're saying, and I think it's such a powerful way to get, again, you know, you're taking control of it and really, you know, you're aggressively with such a positive attitude going after being healthy. Wow, what an idea. Again, I have a question from chat. Somebody's asking about if you have an opinion about the efficacy of graviola in combating cancer. Do you know about that?
That's not something I use, but there are so many. What I found is that there are like tons of different, you know, things that work. So I found out about that more after, you know, well after, you know, I was, you know, through the cancer recovery process. So it is something I would probably include now. Graviola, pawpaw, there's so many. It's really, there's like, the great thing about nature is it produces tons of different cancer-fighting fruits and vegetables. So, yeah, I'm very familiar with soursop. I've had, that's the other name that people call it, that I've used. I've had it since then, and it's definitely something I think that can be very powerful from what I've read about it. So the thing that I did find was there was no one single thing, that several things could work. And so part of the process is really honing in on what you're going to, you know, try and go with. And this is kind of the ones now that I'd say probably be on the top of the list would be the graviola.
And I would also advocate for, as you say, it's kind of, and that's the magic of dance that I think what you did is so admirable, is you figured out what, you know, you found a place, you tried a bunch of stuff, and then you settled into, like, here are my top 10 things that I want to do, that my vibe would, you know, that feel, work with my body, and that's such a powerful thing to do. I'm also a big fan of Paul Stamets' work. He's a mycologist that's done a lot of work with fungus, and gathers spores from old, you know, ancient fungi in forests unscathed forests and recultures them. And he produced a line of turkey rhubarb that has actually been done in studies now, and he used it early on. His mother had breast cancer, and he gave his mom high doses of turkey rhubarb because he knew, I mean, he's been studying fungi for decades, and he gave it to her, and it cleared her breast cancer. So there are lots of, as you say, you find what works, and then that's what vibes with you, which is, can you talk a little more about listening to that inner voice? Did you discover that through meditation, or was that just something you had always done?
You know, it's not something I always listen to. I mean, there are definitely times when I did, but I realized a lot of times I would quiet that voice and go along with what someone else is telling me to do or think is the right way out of fear or whatever else. And that's so that was something I kind of found through the process, you know, working, you know, with a friend, and we were studying more Ayurvedic medicine where they look at more the relationship to how you're sick and where you're sick and to what that might represent. And so, you know, for the thyroid, you know, I also had goiter, which means the thyroid was enlarged. And I was also working to shrink that down, which I was able to do, which I was told doesn't normally happen. But when if the thyroid, you know, grows too large, it eventually can start cutting off your vocal cords and start affecting your voice. And so my friend who was working with me, she's like, think about that. Or what is it that you need to say, do, whatever? And I was like, oh, well, there are a lot of things that I haven't been, you know, sticking up for myself and saying things that I needed to say. As, you know, I was in a business partnership where I wasn't being treated as equal, even though I was doing the majority of the work. And so I needed to speak up about that. I needed to speak up about a lot of things. I had decided in my life I was the peacemaker, so I was just going to go along with whatever to kind of keep the peace in general, as opposed to making things uncomfortable for other people. So I realized that through the process of really studying, you know, what I needed to do and about that type of illness, and I was like, I think it's telling me I need to start listening to that inner voice. I need to start speaking up. I need to start doing that. So that was definitely more of a discovery of kind of changing that peacemaker attitude, and I still am a very peaceful person, but at the same time, I have learned to speak up, and I think the first time I learned to really, really speak up as an adult was when I said no to the doctor and said, it's like, finally, my voice was like, yay, we've been trying to speak up, and now when I'm pressed against the wall, I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to speak up, and so my personality changed a bit. You know, people noticed that I was just more forthcoming and more direct, and it was appreciated. So no one really got bent out of shape or uncomfortable except those who needed to be. And so that definitely was part of the process. And then through meditation, you get a little more in tune with the voice that is everyone has. It's just that gut inner voice, and when you quiet down, you start to hear it a little more clearly. You start hearing those thoughts and recognizing that those aren't just fleeting thoughts. That's your inner intelligence. That's your inner self, you know, guiding you and telling you what you don't necessarily see with your eye, but all your nerves and everything else takes in. So I started with that process, definitely was able to listen better. And then through visualization, where I would visualize cancer leaving my body every day, you know, getting so small that I couldn't see it anymore, that felt extremely empowering. And I, you know, after doing that for like 20 minutes, I would lay down and do that. I had a little chi machine that rocks your feet because I had a problem being quiet, and that would help me get quiet and meditate. I would feel so empowered. It was like I had just gone through a session of healing, which really I had, because basically when you're meditating and visualizing, you're telling your body what you want it to do, what you expect it to do, and it goes about making that happen. And so we have to, you know, get rid of fear, get rid of anger, resentment, because those things block the healing and make the body more acidic, whereas happy, good thoughts make it more alkaline and more able to heal.
And I have to ask this question. I was going to go somewhere else, but this just
sure.
pops up. Do you think it's possible for somebody to heal themselves readily without some kind of, I'll call it meditation, whatever we want to call, whatever the act is, whether it's like the heart math kind of work where you're working with a heart rhythm or you're working with that. Do you think you can really readily heal without some kind of at peace state as every part of your day? Does that make sense?
Yeah. You know, there are really no absolutes here. I think you could. People have, you know, healed from various ways, not necessarily getting in tune with that part of themselves. So I would say yes. I would say you could probably do it faster, more successfully, you know, if you are doing it. You know, it may be less work on the body when your mind is in tune with it, but the mind is so powerful. I mean, people have been able to heal themselves with just their thoughts, aside from the nutritional interventions. I don't recommend just doing that, but if you had nothing else, you start there. So I think it's possible. You know, there's so many ways the body can heal, but I think it's a really overlooked piece of the puzzle that can be added.
Well, and as you said, you're adding such a state of, you know, releasing all the fear and the worry and the anger, and, you know, you're affecting the mind in the same, you're treating the mind in the same way that you chose to treat the body, and to give it everything necessary to give it the opportunity to heal itself. You're empowering the brain to do the same thing, like, okay, we're all on the same team here, let's go do
right.
this. So that's,
exactly,
that's why,
and
you
I
know.
Think that's why some people don't have the same success as others when they're doing various approaches, even natural or going the standard route, because of the attitude they have. You know, I can usually, when I'm working with people, kind of know who's going to beat this relatively quickly based on their attitude about it, and if they're ready to let go of the fear and the worry, and those who kind of stay in that worrisome, unsettled state, not sure if they should do this natural approach or this approach or that it really prolongs the process. It really makes it more difficult. So it's definitely something you should do, because it's so powerful, and it can stymie a process that would readily work for you or someone else if you're harboring such strong emotions that are, you know, very evident. So it's definitely a significant piece.
And now we could spend a whole show talking about meditation and the power of what that could do in a positive sense.
That's true.
Because
I'm excited going to a meditation retreat this week to get centered again. So it's definitely something that's worth taking the time to do.
I agree. And how did you, I want to jump slightly sideways, how did the veggie chest evolve? How did that happen? The veggie chest, for people who don't know, is your cooking channel on YouTube where you show people, you know, how to make some of this great food. How did that happen?
So I was, when I started working with people, I was just giving them recipes, you know, and a lot of times they would look at me and say, well, what is that? I've never heard of this. I don't know what that is. I don't even know how to make that. Where would I get it? And just kind of a blank stare. And I said, you know, maybe if I make some of these and make it easier for them to see, you know, then they'll be more apt to try it. You know, so if I'm saying make a mock tuna salad that has dulse in it, and they've never even heard of dulse, I'm like, maybe seeing it would make it easier. So that was the initial thought, just, you know, for my clients to do. And then it just kind of took off from there. that, you know, everybody wants to eat healthy and wants good, healthy recipes. So, yeah, it was really to help people understand how to make different types of food that they may not be familiar with, you know, give it a try. You know, usually if I look at a complicated, that I think is a complicated recipe, if I watch it first, then I'm much more likely to give it a try because I see how it's done. So, because I realize a lot of people really didn't cook much at all, so they didn't even know the starting point. So, and you really, when you're trying to eat and live healthy, you do have to do some of your own cooking. You cannot get good, healthy food all the time from, you know, other sources or at restaurants. So you're going to have to get in the kitchen just a little bit.
Well, especially
and then also,
like I watched the one. Oh, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to make it quick, too. Most of them I try to make it relatively quick because we don't want to spend all day there. So I was like, what's the quickest way to get this done? And so that's why you'll see a lot of raw dishes, too, because it shortens the time a lot of times.
Well, what I was going to say is watching you make the mock tuna, and I was like, the video was not even 10 minutes. And in that 10 minutes, you make the, you know, you go from like, here are the ingredients, we're eating it now, which is like, oh, my God, that's so great. You know, it's not like where you have the time lapse and you like wait 20 minutes and then you have to do something for half an hour. You're like, here are the ingredients. Yes, they're pre-cut or pre-chopped or, you know, whatever. Everything gets blended in a processor, and then it's on a lettuce leaf, and you're eating it and going, that's really good. That's a great thing. Because when you talk about vegetarian people, you know, to vegetarian food to people, they don't know, and it's, like you say, it's a, what's dulse?
Right.
That? We're eating seaweed? What?
Seaweed, yeah.
You know.
Like, we're eating seaweed now? I'm like, yep.
Right. Exactly. I know that exactly. Now we're eating this? Wheatgrass? Really? Are you kidding? I happen to be one of those odd people that I've always loved the flavor of wheatgrass. And
Yeah, there are some who do.
I know. I've always liked it. I used to do regular shots at a juice bar near where I worked, and I'd go in the morning and have like 2 ounces, and it was just
That's
like a great
awesome.
Start to the day. And I would everybody always look at me like, you actually like this. You're not faking it. No, I really like it. I like the flavor. I like the vitality of it was always amazing.
It is. It really is.
So I have to ask, do you have a book yet? It just seems like you have, it seems like you must have a book, or you're working on a book, or somewhere your name and book.
I am working on the recipe book. There was definitely, a process. So I was like, I have the recipes, so I'm hoping to get that done relatively soon because it's there, and it's, you know, going to include a lot of the tips. And I say what's different about the book that I'm putting together than most, like, just even vegan cookbooks or whatever, it's really all about health first. That's how I go into the food I'm making. It's like, what do we need that's going to be healthy? And then how am I going to make this taste good? And so that's really, not that other people aren't doing healthy food, but that's the focus. So it's like something that you can pull out, you know, whether you're sick or you're well and you want to stay well, that is really going to help you get there. So that is in the works, and I hope to have it completed soon. It's a lot of work, but a lot of fun, too.
Yeah.
Go
ahead, Sherry.
One of our sponsors today is our software, the Nutritional Reporter. So
mm-hmm.
I want to invite everyone to go to our soundhealthportal.com and input a vocal print, which is what we do here at the Research Center, and it will give you back information about what nutrients are high and low in your voice. So I have put that in our chat for everyone, soundhealthportal.com, and the nutritional program will be free to all of our listeners for the next 30 days in honor of having you on the program.
That's wonderful. That is absolutely wonderful. Great. I will definitely be taking a look at that as well.
No, you will love it. I know right now from having, you know, not only talked to you, but, you know, read a lot of your material and watched your shows. And plus, with the engineering background, I think you will really be delighted with the kind of information that can generate. That's why I'm such a fan of Sherry's work and got involved in, you know, doing radio shows with Sherry, is that the kind of work that this, back to the very opening of, you know, how this self-empowers us to really make our choices and to have information that we are, you know, generating by looking at our vocal print and seeing where the imbalances are, what's too high or what's too low, and going, oh, this is what happens when I eat that. That's like an amazing thing to have at your fingertips. So it's really great. So I'm surprised to find we're already here to the end. How do people work with you? Do you do online classes or do you only local classes? I mean, besides the Veggie Chest and all the material you have online that's available, do people work with you one-on-one? How do you do all that?
Sure. I do a little bit of all of that. So I'm hosting a webinar right now, so anyone can join with a physician I work with, Dr. Watkins. So that's an online event for the next 2 weeks. And then I do individual consultations. If the person is in my area, we meet initially the first time in person and then do the rest by phone. But I work with a lot of people from all over the world, actually. And so we usually do Skype for those folks and meet up that way and do the coaching that way. And then I do classes locally. So for cooking, hands-on classes, I do that as well. I have one coming up on October 9th for people. We did a Just for Men cooking class last weekend, which was great. Get the men in the kitchen and getting healthy. A lot of their wives sent them to learn how to cook so they could help cook as well. So that was a lot of fun.
Wonderful. And on this, is this the event that you're talking about that you're doing with Dr. Watkins now, is that this the 30 Days to Wellness webinar series?
Right. We're halfway in, but you can still join because we will send you the recordings from the first 2 weeks. But, yes, we're doing that. It's right there on the website. So Monday nights at 7 live and 7 to 8, where you can also ask questions at the end. So, yeah, so people are really.
Okay. I have that link in the show notes at Blog Talk Radio, and I'll give it to Sherry. And I think it's already on the page at Sound Health Options. Click on the radio tab and click on Blog Talk Radio. I think it's on that page as well so people can find you. Because your information is so approachable. That's one of the things I love about the Veggie Chest is it's once people get past the, like, oh, my God, we're eating vegetables, once they get past that, you know, that it's really, you make it very approachable. You make it very doable and flavorful. Oh, wow. I love flavorful food. So,
me too. That's the only kind I like.
Exactly. Not eating, you know, tofu just on, you know, with nothing, please.
No. You know, I grew up in Alabama. I've got those southern roots. We know how to flavor food. So I use that. Tips I learned from my mother, grandmother, aunts, and we just make it healthy.
Yeah. There's a lot of flavor in that cuisine. Wow. Yeah. Okay, that was really fun. I knew it was going to be fast, but that went faster than I thought. Yes, Marcy, the mock tuna was, is really good. I actually did make that recipe and add a little bit more stuff, you know, just of my, you know, a little bit of specific oils and stuff that I really like. But I mean, in terms of, as I said, that's what I loved about that segment was, in the time that you do it, you're actually making it and it's finished and you're eating it. And I love cooking like that, where it's like, okay, here are the ingredients and now we're eating.
Right.
I love that.
Exactly.
So great.
Exactly.
I'm hungry now and I'm eating. Cool. That's excellent. Yep.
Exactly.
Well, thank you, Dr. Ruby, as I think you will be known as Dr. Ruby. It's great on the Cooking Channel.
Great.
Thank you very much. Any other closing thoughts, Sherry?
I think this has been a phenomenal show. I think we could do 10 more, and I'd like to invite everyone who is listening to share this with their audience, their friends, their social network. If Dr. Ruby will agree, we will have her back about other kinds of diseases and foods to avoid. We had some questions about kale and blood clotting that we couldn't get to. So there are a lot of questions from our audience. We invite you back anytime that you want to be with us. to bring us new information, especially when your book comes out. It was wonderful having you as a guest.
Thank you. I enjoyed it, and you two have been great. Really a pleasure to talk to, and just thank you for having me. I look forward to coming back anytime.
Great. I can't wait until, let us know when the cookbook comes out, because that would be a fun show to talk about recipes in combination with some of the questions that we didn't get to and other things that you are observing. So that would be fabulous.
Absolutely. Will do.
All right. Thank you. All right, everybody. Have a great rest of the weekend, and we'll see you on Tuesday. We're talking about something. I don't know what, but I know we're talking about something on Tuesday. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.